In this episode of the Eurovision Sport Radio podcast, we take a virtual trip to the IBU Biathlon World Championships in Pokljuka in Slovenia. The Winter Wonderland location played host to biathletes from around the world, but not to any fans. COVID rules meant that the competition could only take place in front of officials and the media. And whilst that failed to dampen the competition, it certainly brought a different dimension to the audience listening at home. For Sweden, this was their best World Championships ever, with 6 medals, 1 gold, 3 silver and 2 bronze. Our producer Mickey Curling caught up with one of Swedish radio's reporters on site in Pokljuka.
I'm Isabel Gradin, working for Swedish radio here at Biathlon World Championship in Pokljuka. And I work as an interview reporter at the stadium, so I'm doing the interviews with the biathletes when they have reached the goal.
So we're speaking to you today on an off day, a little bit of a quieter day for you than it would normally be during competition. But where do we find you today and what's the weather like?
I'm actually down by the lake here in Bled, where we live at our hotel. And it's such beautiful weather today. The sun is warming in my face, and I think it's maybe like -1, -2 Celsius. So perfect weather today.
And we're talking to you halfway through these World Championships. So by the time this is published, this will be out of date. But how are things going for the Swedish team right now?
It has been very good so far for the Swedish team. Sweden got 3 medals so far. So it has been really fun to be at the stadium.
Now, of course, this event is taking place, like many sporting events, behind closed doors without any fans. I mean, that must be really strange.
Of course, it's very different. They got like record sound that they're playing in the speakers, but no, it's not the same feeling like maybe in Antholz last year. I wasn't there, but I understand that that was incredible with all the audience.
Now, Isabel, we've actually caught up with some of your other colleagues from across Europe who are on site there covering these World Championships. And it's interesting because Jérôme Val from Radio France, you know, he has pointed out that the lack of fans actually brings a whole new perspective to the competition.
Of course, I have some memories of the previous competitions with thousands of fans, the fervor, the enthusiasm, the shoutings. Here in Pokljuka, nothing of that. It's another point of view. We can hear the coach's instruction, the noise of the ski on the snow. But sport is above all emotion. With this new organization, something essential is missing. And sometimes I wonder why I continue to talk about sport when the stadium are empty, when fans stay at home. Sport on the radio is an emotional experience, but since 1 year, it's more complicated, of course.
So let's just demonstrate that. This is the finish of the men's individual relay. And yeah, I mean, you've got the PA system with the announcer. But obviously, you know, you'd have the commentary on this on the radio, but without the cheering fans, it's hard to know that this is the conclusion of the competition. Obviously, it's difficult to convey sporting emotions without the fans there, but that's just one factor of covering sport in these interesting times. I mean, Isabel, how's it working? How does the COVID testing work, for example?
Yes, we had to do just one COVID test just to get into the country, into Slovenia, and to get the accreditation. And then when we got here, we had to do another test. And today, a week after, we have to do a third test. So, and we have to use a face mask on the stadium and, of course, wash our hands properly and keep distance to each other and also to the biathletes, of course.
Let's hear again from Jérôme Val from Radio France.
In these championships in Pokljuka, there are two sanitary bubbles, a red one for the athletes and the organization, and the yellow one for the media. And when you are on the site of the competition, in the middle of a giant fir forest, it's very beautiful, but it's impossible to cross paths. The paths are marked with the red color and the yellow color, and the only point of meeting is the mixed zone to make interviews with the athletes. It's a long way with compartments for each media, and there is a separation. It seems to me like a pit, like a gulf, because it's very, very long. This separation between us and the athletes. Otherwise, we cannot meet them close to their bus or at their hotel.
And I think this frustration is shared by David Nietzsche from Czech Radio.
I can interview the athletes only in the mix zone. There is a wide corridor between us, and in last seasons, I was used to do some reports behind the scenes, some backstage reports, because I have quite a good relationship with Czech biathletes, so I could visit them at the hotel, I could do some reports from, I don't know, for example, their dining room, but I don't want to complain. I know that it's the only one possibility how to speak or interview them, so I understand these rules, of course. In this time.
Yeah, I guess everyone's doing the best they can. Let's hear some positive vibes from Alias Gocha from Slovenian Radio.
So far, biathlon has managed to do everything right, and so we can enjoy a wonderful season. Some things were definitely easier before, for example, meeting people, but I think the sport has found a way to overcome these challenges well. Obviously, we sports reporters, journalists, are very lucky to be able to do our job, commentate on great sporting events, do interviews with global stars, and find interesting stories.
Back to you, Isabel. I mean, we're hearing about the stresses of covering this competition during COVID times. But of course, you also have a responsibility to convey everything that's happening in this wonderful competition for fans who just can't travel at the moment.
We got a big responsibility, and I think that's often where radio is like the best, and the radio reporters to describe what we can see with our eyes and to deliver that to the audience. And I really, when I was doing the we got one guy who took silver yesterday, and I just thought about that when I was going to describe his emotions and what I could see just after the race, like the Swedish flag was coming up and the prize ceremony. So I just had that in my mind, you know. The audience was at home, but I was there, and I wanted to just to explain the best I could to the audience.
So yeah, you've got a responsibility to the Swedish fans, especially the Swedish fans who've not been able to travel. But what about the home fans? What about the Slovenian fans who haven't been able to come and watch the competition on home soil? Here's Alias Gocha again from Slovenian Radio.
It's like in a fairy tale here, mountains of snow, and especially with all the restrictions that we had in Slovenia in the recent past, many people haven't been able to enjoy going to places like this. These World Championships in Pokljuka are definitely special for anyone in Slovenia who loves biathlon. It's a small venue in the middle of nature. It's not the biggest when it comes to the number of fans that come here when they can. It's not the most accessible, but it's definitely special because of all that. I think the nature of our job is to adapt to difficult situations and find solutions. Otherwise, it's hard to enjoy it and be good at it. But in terms of being here in Pokljuka, I just wish the weather keeps being as perfect as it is right now. Snow and rain can be good when you're in your commentary box, but if you're outside, I think most of us love standing in the sun and enjoying the views.
As Alias says there, it's a fairy tale location, but fairy tale locations and mountains of snow and freezing conditions don't always play particularly well with your equipment, do they?
Yeah, the hardest day, the competition day, was the first day, Wednesday, when there was a mixed relay, because there was snowing so heavy, you know, wet snow flings. I have to cover all the equipment so it doesn't get wet and maybe it's destroyed. That was really, really hard, because I, and the papers, you know, all the preparations, you couldn't see anything because it all just blurred out when the snowflakes hit the paper. Kind of tricky conditions, because, you know, with the pandemic, you have to keep like 2 meters distance to the biathlete when you interview them. And that's kind of tricky. You have to do, you have to need like, yeah, more equipment than usually.
Now, just because I'm a massive geek when it comes to these things, how are you guys broadcasting live from quite remote locations?
We got like live view backpacks that we can, carry around if we want to. We also got like an app on our mobile phones application that we also can record and just send to Stockholm in just a few seconds. So that's, and we can also send live from our mobile phones if we want to.
Now, I don't know if you've seen it or not, but a few days ago, the IBU put out a video celebrating World Radio Day, and it's kind of some of the athletes here.
I laughed, yes.
It's some of the athletes having a go at doing commentary, which, as you know, is a very specialist skill. Let's have a quick listen to some of them now.
Now we're on the final sprint. Hannah gives it all. It's really soon to be tight. This makes maybe bronze for Sweden. She comes to the finish line. Elsie Österreich holds silver. Out of her mouth, Fröding, Altenmann, Ida.
I think it was really entertaining, and it shows also how hard it is to commentate, I think. But I think the biathletes did a really good job. and I loved to see all the clips.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, let's compare that commentary from the athletes, and I have to say it was very good, but let's hear a professional in action. This is David Nič from Czech Radio.
Běžeckého okruhu, počkejme si na ten mezičas, ale teď určitě půjde do čela před Švédku Ebergovou a Rakušanku Hausrovou. Markéta Davidová má na dosah zlato z mistrovství světa, i když samozřejmě ještě se tu několik biatlonistek představí na střelnici na několika položkách, ale
now, I'm not going to pretend I understand anything that he's saying there, but that's our colleague commentating on decisive shooting, apparently. But that's a professional at work. And of course, the clip that was put up by IBU for World Radio Day was a fantastic bit of social media. And I gather, Isabel, that, you know, you're very active on Radio Sporten's social channels.
Yeah, my heart is like, I like social media a lot, so I you could say that I'm interview reporter and social media. I'm doing a lot of content here from Pokljuka. I try to do like small video clips on Insta stories, just during the race from the mixed zone or maybe from the shooting range if I just film my colleague when he's doing interviews with the coaches there. And I also do like we do a quiz, just a biathlon quiz, and interact with the audience. They can ask questions to the biathletes, and then we ask them in the mixed zone. So the audience can hear the answer, both maybe on Insta stories and also in the radio.
Do you go into any particular day with a plan for your social media, or is it about reacting to what's happening in front of you?
We got a plan, but then it's also like what is happening. You know, yesterday me and my colleague was in the press conference center, and we saw on the TV screen that there was a ski cross from Sweden, actually. There was Sandra Näslund, who won the gold, Swedish gold medal. So then we like make a video film about that as well, and that was just like really spontaneous. But you know, we show that we are everywhere. we're in Pukkeljuka and just watching from Idre in Sweden on the TV. So We try to come up with just planned things and also spontaneous.
You mentioned just then your colleague. What's their main role on site?
My colleague is on the shooting range, interviewing the trainers and also like a commentary when the bite leads is on the shooting range. And then we got the commentator and the expert in Stockholm. But our expert is coming down here for the second week, so that should be really nice.
It's a common debate, isn't it, about whether you need to have commentators on site, whether they can commentate off tube, the benefits of having at least a reporter on site. Here's Jérôme Val again from Radio France.
To be on site or not, it's a legitimate question because we cannot walk like before, but we have to persevere. If we begin to stay at our office in the redaction in Paris, in France, it would be harder for us to return to the events when the sanitary situation will be better. And with respect to the athletes, we must be on site. We have to see them, and I guess it's important for them to see us. So the trust must be important in this difficult period.
It's David Leach again from Czech Radio.
It's really important to be here because I can do live streaming of the competitions from commentary cabin. I can interview the athletes immediately after the competition. So yeah, of course I can work on it from home. I can call the biathletes after the competitions from Prague. I can comment it their competitions from the studio, but there's no live contact with Pokljuka, so I think it's good to be here due to maybe some backstage information. So yeah, I think I'm more useful here.
Alias Golcha from Slovenian Radio, he also adds that it's really important for you guys to be on site at a time when the fans actually can't travel and can't be there themselves.
It's different if you're here than if you just go to the studio at home. It opens up possibilities to do more to give the listeners and viewers a better insight into what is going on. Perhaps that's even more important now that spectators can't really be at most sporting events, so I would say it's important to be where the action is. Biathlon has such loyal, amazing fans, and we really do miss all the flags and the costumes and hearing the crowd roar as the targets fall on the shooting range.
I'm really determined that at some point in these podcasts we stop talking about coronavirus and the impact that it's having on sports, but you know, it really is manifesting itself right now with the lack of fans on site and the bubble that you guys are having to operate in. But Isabel, let's rewind to March 2020, as sporting events started to get cancelled around the world. I know that Sweden took a bit longer than everybody else to maybe head into lockdown, but what impact did the cancellation of sporting events have on you in Swedish radio?
We get like 2.5 hour every evening at our radio channel, where we used to have like 6-7 live arenas from maybe handball, maybe ice hockey, maybe soccer, from one day to another there wasn't anything, but I think my colleagues done a really, really amazing job to just okay, what are we doing now? We have to do anything else, so they can come up with competitions, they can come up with audience competitions, looking in the archive, anything from there. Can we listen to like the Olympics 2000 in Sydney, highlights from there?
Sounds like every broadcaster across Europe, you know, really pulling out everything they can to keep the sports programs running. But what impact did it have personally on you?
Actually, I was partly on maternity leave, so I just listened to the radio from the sofa at home. But when I started to work again, I was at Radiosporten, at Swedish radio. But I know that some of my colleagues was on other departments at Swedish radio, so maybe the news department that had a lot to do those weeks.
So you mentioned your baby there. And, you know, for me personally, I traveled a month after my baby was born, and that was really painful. How does it feel for you right now to be away from home?
It hurt more than I thought it would do. I think it's okay. I'm happy that you can use FaceTime and such, so that I can see my my daughter at home, and I know that her father is doing a really good job. So I'm not worried, but it's tough. It is. I'm not home for 16 days, so that is a long time. I'm happy to be here as well, of course. It's my job and I love it. So, yeah.
So you're there now and that's fantastic. But what's your career story? How did you get into this?
I started to work as a news reporter, but I have always loved sport, and I have been competing in athletics myself when I was younger. So I love journalism and I love sport. So then I sent an email to Radiosporten, to the Swedish radio, and I got a summer job there. And after that, I just continued working there. And I'm so happy to that I get the chance.
Now, Eurovision Sport have just published a report called Reimagining Sport, Pathways to Gender-Balanced Media Coverage. And Swedish Radio gets an amazing write-up on page 44. Let me just read this quote to you. Women commentators at Swedish Radio's Radiosporten have been a natural occurrence over the last 10 years. I mean, how does it feel for you to work for such an organisation?
I'm really proud. Personally, I think it's really important to have both female and the men working like 50-50. So I'm really proud to be a part of Swedish Radio. And I think we're doing a good job, but I think we also have to keep up the good work and become even better.
You travel to a lot of sporting events, a lot of international sporting events, and you meet fellow journalists from around the world. Do you feel that Radiosporten is ahead of the game in this sense?
I think I can see that it comes more and more women, especially in the mixed zone, in the interview zone. But that's like when I do interviews with the biathletes, I don't think, okay, it's a woman in front of me or it's a man in front of me. It's like it's a world champion in front of me. But of course, it is really, really important, and I'm proud to be here, of course. But maybe not just like a woman. I'm proud to be here as an interview reporter.
You mentioned interviewing men and women in the mix zone, and biathlon's one of those fantastic sports where everyone competes on an equal platform. But there's, you know, some other sports that still have quite a long way to go, wouldn't you say?
Of course, and I think the last years we have seen, like in the soccer games, the women got more spaces in the newspapers and more TV time. So I think it's coming. Just give it some more years, maybe. But I think it will be more equal in other sports as well. But I like biathlon, like athletics, where you don't just think like, okay, that's men and that's women. It's just sports, and it should be equal.
Yeah, exactly. Right, 2021. I mean, by the time we publish this, whatever we say is probably going to be out of date. But how is this year looking for you from a sporting point of view?
I'm not sure, really. Of course, because of the pandemic, we have to do like quick changes in the schedule. And I think I will be home in Stockholm mostly, working with the Olympics from home, from Stockholm. I will look forward to be in Beijing for the Winter Olympics. That's my next big travel that I know of.
Okay, Isabel, I've kept you way too long in these freezing conditions outside your hotel, so I'll let you go now. What's the rest of the day got in store for you?
Going to enjoy the sun, I think. It's really wonderful here in Bled. I haven't been here before, and just to look out on the lake and see the white mountains around, it's so beautiful. Maybe taking and eating an ice cream or something.
And a COVID test, don't forget.
And a COVID test, not to forget that. And to prepare for the ladies' competition tomorrow as well.
Well, wishing you all the best with the COVID test and the prep. Listen, thank you so much for your time. It's been really fascinating.
Thank you.
My thanks to Isabel Gradin from Swedish Radio, as well as the colleagues you heard from France, the Czech Republic, and of course the host nation of Slovenia. In the next episode, we'll be taking another virtual tour, this time to the FIS Alpine Skiing World Cup Finals, which will take place in Lenzerheide in Switzerland.